approving.
So we'll move on to our next case, Gikla versus United States. Mr. Smith?
Good morning, Your Honors. Zane Smith on behalf of the plaintiff appellant, David Gikla. This case comes before you on the issue of a underlying medical malpractice case in which a judgment was entered in favor of the defendants and against the plaintiff. However, we believe that the error on the part of the trial judge revolves around his failure to allow or provide for a sanction based on the conduct of the defendant in this case. That conduct on behalf of the defendant was the failure to disclose the fact that on the morning of the trial, their expert was provided between 30 and 40 x-rays for his review right before the time that I was the underlying trial attorney, right before the time that the defendant was going to present their expert for his testimony.
How concretely were you prejudiced by Dr. Vito's last-minute review of the x-rays? I mean, given that there was Dr. Vito's opinion didn't change in any respect, was there any harm in his review of the x-rays other than your inability to impeach his testimony by saying that he hadn't looked at the x-rays?
Well, I think the harm was profound in a couple of ways. First of all, it prevented the opportunity to cross-examine the defense attorney on his opinion on those x-rays because there could not be any distinction between the opinion of the defendant's expert before he reviewed the x-rays versus the opinion of the expert after he reviewed his x-rays.
Didn't you decide not to ask for a continuance to enable you to prepare that cross-examination?
The continuance was that the judge offered the opportunity to cross-examine and depose the doctor outside the presence, outside the trial. The problem with that is that our expert was presented by evidence deposition for the very reason that my expert was not available. So to allow me to cross-examine the defendant's expert on x-rays that I'm not trained to examine or render an opinion on an x-ray, I needed my expert there next to me to advise me as to what these x-rays meant in terms of the defendant's opinions that they were rendered.
But that's what would have happened. You would have had your continuance. You would have deposed Dr. Vito, and possibly your expert would have been available. He wasn't available for this trial, but if you'd had, you know, extra time, he might very well have been, available, and you would have had as well the opportunity to sit down with him to determine what questions to ask him.
Unfortunately, that's not what the offer of the
It's a bench trial, so you can have an indefinite, or shouldn't use that word by the first case, you can have a protracted continue. You could ask magistrate judge, explain what Judge Rovner was just saying, my problem, I have to consult my expert, he's not present. You know, you have to give me a week or so, right? You could ask him for that. Did you ask him for such a thing?
Asked that the testimony of the defendant's expert be barred.
Did you explore the possibility of a continuance that would enable you to depose him, and, you know, effectively?
Well, the problem with that option was twofold. Not only would it have delayed the trial and to give me the opportunity to cross-examine the defendant's expert with his new opinions, but it would have necessitated that I then represent my expert for his new opinions based upon the defendant's new opinions.
I mean, it's not ideal, but maybe if you explored the difficulties of that with Judge Shankir, maybe he would have decided, well, that he should bar the defendant's expert.
Well, I made that specific request, and that was rejected. The only thing that was offered in terms of a cure was to momentarily stop the trial to allow me to examine.
He said momentarily stop. Did you say to him, well, momentarily isn't good enough, I need a week or something? Did you try that possibility?
I did not ask that the entire trial be delayed, Your Honor. The question of the availability of my expert at that particular moment, I didn't know. The additional cost, my expert was out of town, so I would have had to either go there or come here to have him redeposed or to supplement his previous evidence deposition. My expert was being presented by evidence deposition. To ask me to do all these things, that is, redepose the defendant, obtain new opinions, redepose my expert, obtain new opinions, all because of a willful violation on the part of the defendant in this case, does not seem the appropriate remedy that should have been offered to me.
But none of that was going to happen because Dr. Vito did not change his opinion in any respect. He didn't change a single thought.
Dr. Vito, in his response to my examination, after I discovered on my own that he, in fact, had reviewed the 30 to 40 x-rays the morning of the trial, was that the x-rays helped him expand upon his live discovery at trial. So it was impossible to make a determination.
Did he refer to the x-rays at the trial?
Did he refer them in his, he referred to the fact that he had reviewed them and that he had expanded, that they had helped him expand his opinions. He did not refer to any particular x-ray in terms of the x-rays he reviewed.
The x-rays had helped him with his testimony?
Absolutely. He said they expanded his testimony. And the prejudice to my case, to Mr. Gikla's case, was profound. Because one of the absolute critical areas in determining negligence in a medical malpractice case, of course, is the credibility of the witnesses. As it stood prior to Dr. Vito reviewing those 30 to 40 x-rays in the morning of the trial, Mr. Gikla was in a position of being able to attack the credibility of the defendant's expert. That credibility was the fact that he was rendering opinions without reviewing or looking at the x-rays. The only excuse the defendants had in this case was whether or not that failure, which, by the way, was willful, if the members of the panel will look at the transcript, that failure was willful on the part of Mr. Donatelli, who exactly anticipated the basis of our examination of their defendant and his attack on his credibility. So the only...
I did not understand that.
Well, one of the things that happens in a medical malpractice case is obviously to attack the credibility of the various experts. The credibility of the defendant's expert was profoundly deficient because he was rendering opinions without looking at the x-rays. This was huge. This in no small part was an x-ray case. The issue of whether or not the ankle was prosthetic device, whether it fit right, whether it was the correct, whether it had problems, in large part revolved around the x-rays. To attack the defendant's expert's credibility because he had not reviewed the x-rays was completely taken away by the actions of the defendant on the morning of trial. The proper sanction in this case should have been to either bar Dr. Vito's testimony entirely or to render those opinions of our expert that controverted Dr. Vito as being entered into the case, which is the proper sanction under Rule 26. If you look at the under Rule 26, it says that if a party fails to disclose a material witness or material information, that party is barred, and it lists obviously all kinds of sanctions, including but not limited to those sanctions that are in Section 37.
So in other words, are you saying that the only question you would have then asked Dr. Vito is, absent the x-rays, you've never looked at the x-rays? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that would have been one of the questions, not the only question, of course, because that would have led into how could he have formed the opinions that he formed without looking at and reviewing those x-rays.
Did you ask him that?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
What did he say?
He said that in his original opinions that he did not need to look at the x-rays in order to form his opinions. That was an issue of credibility that was taken away by and through the willful acts of the defendant in this case.
Well, it was a bench trial, and the judge heard all of that.
He did. The problem is Judge Shankier said, well, and I'm summarizing, I'm not quoting, Judge Shankier said, well, I understand that, you know, Dr. Vito rendered these things, but it's not really, it's really harmless error because we have the testimony of the other doctors. The problem is Judge Shankier quoted Dr. Vito no less than 9 times in his findings of conclusions of law and fact.
But what did Vito mean when he said that the x-rays had enabled him to expand on his testimony if he didn't alter the opinion that had been in his report?
I think it was a coy way of avoiding the issue of whether or not his opinions could be relied upon because he had never looked at the x-rays. If you look at the testimony, the cross-examination by Judge Shankier of Mr. Donatelli as to why he didn't disclose these.
Did you ask him what exactly was the value to him of looking at the x-rays?
I didn't ask him about any specific x-ray, no.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Smith. Mr. Donatelli?
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, our position is that Rule 26 does not prevent a party from prepping a witness for cross-examination. Our expert went on and gave opinions based solely on the medical records and whatever radiographic films were in there, and on the deposition testimony, of course, that he had read of Dr. Grady, who did go through the x-rays, and it was presented that way. Judge Shankier understood it. Everybody understood it, and that's why Mr. Smith asked.
Did you produce the x-rays to the other side?
No, they produced them to me.
No, but I mean, when you showed them to Dr. Vito, did you at the same time, you know, show them to the plaintiff?
I showed them to the doctor that morning before he went on the stand. At the time of Mr. Smith's cross, that's when Judge Shankier said, take some time and see what x-rays he reviewed. I said he reviewed the x-rays, my packet, which is the one that I got from Mr. Smith. And Mr. Smith understood. We all knew which x-rays we were talking about. So that was clear.
Oh, he had the x-rays?
Yes. And our expert gave his opinions based on what he had reviewed, which was not the x-rays. At no point did we ever take him through and say, now take a look at this x-ray. How does this bolster your opinion?
What did he mean by saying that x-rays enabled him to expand his testimony?
I know. I'm actually with you on that one, Judge. And all I can say is when you look at the context, here's what I glean. The first question is, Mr. Smith says, are your opinions the result of your review of the x-rays? And his answer is no. My opinion has not changed. Then Mr. Smith says, that's not my question. Did any of the opinions you render today, are any of them the result of a review of the x-rays? Which is the same question. And the expert responds, what they are, if they're a review of the x-rays, it was from the written reports in the operative notes or the x-ray interpretations that I may have seen, meaning the x-ray reports, but I did not see any x-rays prior to these written reports. So a third time, Mr. Smith says, the opinions you render today, were they the result in whole or part of your review of the x-rays? Did you look at the x-rays and did they help your opinions, confirm them, change them, anything? And that's when he says, well, if anything, they helped me expand on my testimony right now, but not because of the dates of the reports. In other words,
That's because of what? I'm sorry.
He says not because of the dates of the reports, meaning not because when I originally gave my opinions.
Oh, that's what he meant by not.
Yes. And he says again, I did not have the x-rays to see him.
Refer to the x-ray in his further testimony? Did he refer to the x-ray?
No, he did not, Judge. I never took him through them. Mr. Smith never took him through them. None of his testimony came out on the basis of those x-rays, and he certainly never explained what in the x-rays supported his position. It was always based on the medical records and the deposition.
But surely the medical records included the x-ray reports.
Right.
So he may not have seen the actual x-rays,
right,
but he had all of the information.
Right, which is why he said he was able to give his opinions. And, you know, you have to remember, too, in this case, this is not a case where the x-rays No one's ever argued that the x-rays reflect something different from what's in the reports. It was merely that the expert had not reviewed the actual films themselves and had relied on the reports. And, of course, doctors do that all the time. They rely on the radiologists to help them, just like they rely on the lab reports. Judge Shanker was all over this one. He did a very thorough and a fine job on this. And he got the fact that there were really three main points that Mr. Smith was arguing, and none of them really had merit. First, Mr. Smith was saying, I was prevented from showing that this expert gave opinions without relying on the x-rays. And the trial judge says, no, you're not. I get it. He said, I'm taking this case with the understanding that those opinions were rendered without it. He said, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I know it, and I'll take it into consideration. So Mr. Smith's cross-examination was completely effective on that point, and we never contested it. We agreed with it. Then Mr. Smith had also said, tried to say he couldn't tell the pre-X-ray opinions from the post-X-ray opinions. And the judge said, yes, you do. You have his report. You have his testimony. Figure out what's different. What's in the testimony that's not in the report? And Mr. Smith replied, no, you're right. He has not done that. So I think plaintiff here agreed. Nothing new came in. There's nothing different that was in there. And this point about not being able to cross-examine the expert about the x-rays because his own expert wasn't present, the trial judge said to him, you're in the same posture whether he saw the x-rays or not. If he hadn't seen the x-rays before and you wanted to ask him about the x-rays, your expert's still not here. But you can go through them if you need some time. Take whatever time you get. I'll give you whatever time you need and go through it and see what you want to do. To which Mr. Smith replied, I know what the x-rays are. I'm familiar with them. And he said, I don't need to inquire as to the specific x-rays. You know, he didn't say, I'm unable to. I'm helpless. I don't have my expert here. He says, I don't need to. I think because it was clear, there was really no issue that the x-rays themselves contained anything differently. And as the trial judge pointed out also, it was very vague what plaintiff's own expert was saying based on the x-rays. He would give an opinion and he'd say, you know, I know this and I know this from the medical records, and he'd say, and the x-rays support it. But certainly it was never clear in his deposition of going through a particular x-ray and saying, look, here I see something or not. And the trial judge got that as well. So,
is Dr. Vito local? Is he in?
No, Judge. He was, I think he's in Georgia.
He's out of town also.
Yes. So, in other words, this appeal is based on the faulty assumption that something came in when it shouldn't have, and that he was prejudiced, and that as a result, you should credit plaintiff's expert, who, by the way, as Judge Shanker found, has never done the surgery and isn't even trained to do it under the system, and probably wouldn't be allowed to do it. So, for these reasons, we ask this court to affirm the decision below. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Mr. Donatelli, Mr. Smith, your time expired, but you can have another minute if you have anything further.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate that. The issue before you is twofold. It's not necessarily what the opinions of the experts are, but what form and basis of those opinions are. What was used to form the basis of those opinions?
Had your expert reviewed these x-rays?
He had. And that was part of our intent, was to present the testimony of our expert with the benefit of actually reviewing the actual x-rays, which showed information, and he testified information other than what was included in the x-rays.
Did your expert do that? He testified about the x-rays?
He did. He testified about the x-rays by and through his evidence deposition. I think that the premise in this case, Mr. Donatelli, seems to suggest, well, there was no harm, it's not a big deal, it's nothing that the plaintiff was prejudiced. In fact, we were severely prejudiced. Mr. Donatelli knew exactly what he was doing. Even Judge Shankier knew that Mr. Donatelli was attempting to bolster the credibility of his expert by and through making sure that we didn't have an opportunity to attack it from the failure of the x-rays.
I still am not getting what it is that would have changed about this case, particularly in light of it having been a bench trial and the judge knowing all the facts here?
Because the judge, Shankier, relied upon Dr. Vito's testimony in coming to the conclusion that the defendant should prevail. Based on the violation of the Rule 26, Dr. Vito's testimony should never have come into this case. The defendant's basic argument is it was harmless error, and it wasn't.
And I think they also said it was not a violation of the rule.
Right.
Well, they can't argue that.
Did you find any ammunition in these x-rays for his testimony?
Whose testimony, Dr. Vito?
No. Your expert for your malpractice case. Did he find anything in the x-rays that helped your case?
Absolutely. There were multiple opinions.
Fine. Then you've used that to demolish Dr. Vito, right? So Vito looks at the x-rays and says they don't change his opinion. And then your guy gets up and says, look, these x-rays, that has devastating stuff, showing that Vito is his opinion isn't worth anything. He missed all these things in the x-rays. So what given that opportunity, I don't know why you would have been hurt by Vito.
Because the problem is Dr. Vito's opinions were, as he said, enhanced or supported at the time of the trial, but it was impossible to make a determination.
You're missing my point.
Okay.
You're saying your expert looks at the x-rays and he testifies that they help your case. They have evidence favorable to you.
Correct.
Well, doesn't that make it very questionable of Dr. Vito to have looked at the same x-rays and decided they didn't affect his opposite opinion?
Yes, Judge, but that's the issue. Dr. Vito never looked at the x-rays.
Yes. What, he didn't look at the x-rays? Wait, no.
Prior to rendering his...
No. The morning of his testimony, he looks at the x-rays.
Yes, sir.
Now, your expert looks at the same x-rays and finds in them evidence for you. Now, why then can't you or your expert confront Dr. Vito and, or you explain, look, there's something wrong. Dr. Vito looked at these x-rays belatedly, but he looked at them, and he didn't change his opinion, even though, in fact, these x-rays contain the following information helpful to the plaintiff's case.
Well, part of the answer to that question is our expert was presenting evidence by and through an evidence deposition and had opinions based upon the fact that Dr. Vito had not reviewed those x-rays, and therefore his opinions conflicted with my expert's opinion. What you're suggesting is no harm because my expert could have testified all about the x-rays that Dr. Vito looked at.
Well, you said your expert did base his opinion on the x-rays.
Right, but it was in the form of an evidence deposition on the day of trial. By doing this, by violating Rule 26, I lost the opportunity to cross-examine.
Why didn't you just tell Judge Schenck here, look, my expert reviewed these x-rays, and he found, this great evidence for the plaintiff, and that shows that Dr. Vito is incompetent because he looked at the same x-rays and he didn't see anything, right? So you just tell the judge that. He'll give you an opportunity to put that evidence in. It's just a bench trial. It can come in and,
right. That's
weeks
true.
Later. You don't need live testimony or anything. You just need a letter from your expert. Well, saying, I looked at these x-rays and I don't understand what Dr. Vito could be talking about when he says that when he looked at them, they didn't alter his opinion.
That is an option, but I don't think it was the one that was necessary, that with the hoops that we would have had to have jumped through to have done that, I don't think was created by me or created by the actions on our side, and it was unfair to allow the defendants to present this doctor in the way they did and then suggest that somehow we were supposed to recalculate our entire trial with our out-of-state expert, our out-of-state plaintiffs,
just
and out-of-state...
Just needed a letter from them. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Both counsel. Next case for argument, United States versus Simmons.